Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Beyond the Scenes. I'm Roy Wood Jr. Now, people have asked me to explain this podcast. You remember growing up as a child and your mom would drop you off at your grandma's house for the summer because she didn't want to have shit else to do with you for 2-3 months during the summer vacation. And your grandma would be making cake and the cake batter, and she'd have a mixer, and you know, the mixer would, and it'd go around and it'd get the cake, but the cake batter would be dribbling off of those spinny things. I don't know what they're called, but your grandma would go, "Baby, you want some cake?" And you go, "Yes." And then she would give you those little spinny things and you would lick the batter. It was like extra cake, cake that you wasn't even counting on getting, you also got. That's basically what this podcast is. This podcast is the extra drizzle of cake batter off of the spinny mixer thing, whatever the hell they're called. Today on Beyond the Scenes,
they're called paddles.
I didn't know that, Dulce Sloan, who I will now introduce. I did not know that.
I messed up your intro. I'm sorry.
That's fine. We're talking. It's a podcast. Who gives a shit? This isn't TV. Those are TV rules. You can talk whenever you want to. The voice you're hearing is correspondent Dulce Sloan, and we dived into a piece on The Daily Show about the Karen-demic. And before we get into our other guests, let's just hear a little snippet of that.
This weekend was the first weekend of summer, and you know what that means. Same thing as every weekend, white women were calling 911 on black people.
This morning, a California woman is facing outrage online after a now viral video shows her allegedly calling police on an 8-year-old black girl selling bottles of water with her mother on a sidewalk.
She called police on an 8-year-old little girl. You can hide all you want.
Yeah, and illegally selling water without a permit.
The woman, identified as Allison Edel, now being dubbed on social media as Permit Patty. This comes after several widely reported instances of white people calling the police on African-Americans who are living their everyday lives.
So joining us to talk a little bit more about this epidemic of white people calling the police on black people who really wasn't doing nothing is Daily Show writer Josh Johnson and, of course, my wonderful, wonderful friend Dulce Sloan, fellow Daily Show correspondent. Josh, did you know that they was called paddles?
No, but I had a feeling it was something like that. I wouldn't have called it a paddle.
It don't look like a paddle. Why not spindle?
Yeah. I mean, whoever came up with the paddle is no fun.
I hear you. Some people do call them blades, like in the mixer, but they're more paddlies. They're more, they ain't
because
chopping.
I lick it, I don't want to think of it as a blade. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing, Dulce. I still think the analogy flies. The Daily Show on Comedy Central, that's the cake. That's what you get on a regular basis. You can count on that. But this podcast, this is the extra drizzle. The drizzle.
Yeah. I mean, drizzle, no matter what,
off of the spinny things,
are going to be very high.
So the drizzle we're talking about today. Delicious, I think, is the word you were looking for, Josh, not glucose. The Karen-demic and everything that's been happening, you know, can you basically, I'll let you define this for me, Dulce. For the people who don't know, what is a, quote, Karen?
It is any white woman that is weaponizing her privilege. Also, and weaponizing victimhood is what a Karen is for me. So not every white woman is a Karen, but every white mm-hmm. woman can be a Karen. Kind of like, you know, all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. Same concept.
Yes. Took me a second from Alabama Public Schools, but yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Also went to school in Louisiana, and it was.
I went to school in Gwinnett County in Norcross, Georgia, and so I don't know what was going on where y'all was at, but
We didn't have the same education at all.
Well, I mean, I went to school in the second richest county in the state, so I hear you.
When you think about the art of, quote, Karening, like, I guess one of the biggest profile incidents was Amy Cooper and the bird watching situation, where a black dude asked a white woman, could you put your dog on a leash? You're in a bird park. You ain't supposed to have the dog off the leash. And mm-hmm. she threatened to call the police, knowing that threatening the police on a black person could be a death sentence. And so there was this weaponization of her own victimhood to make him look. But thankfully, the camera phone, where would we be right now without the camera phone?
I want to find 4K camera phones now. It's like, it's one of those things where you almost feel like black people should just have body cams all the time, as opposed to just the police, you know?
I own one. I can't pull the footage off of it, though, because it's only Windows compatible and I have a Mac. But, like, no lie, it's one of the first things I bought.
You legit have a body cam?
I legit have a body. I used to wear it. I used to wear it walking around New York City on a regular basis, just in case. You never know. Which, like, that's part of the issue with this Karendemic in terms of people calling the police on black people who aren't doing anything. So I know that we had a segment where we basically set up a different form of 911 that was specifically for white people. What was the arc and the point of that piece?
I think it was one of the first sketches I filmed for the show when I got there, I think. Because I don't even think I had been there a year. So basically, the point of the 911 sketch is getting a 911 operator that's going to filter out all of the bullshit calls of white people just trying to call the cops on black people. And one of my favorite lines from it is, I think it might have been one of the writers calling in. I think it might have been Devin Trey Delaquante. He called. It was like, oh, there's these black people on the train and they're being loud. And so my response was, so let me get this straight. There's black people on the train just talking to each other. And he's like, well, yeah. And he's like, okay, this is what I need you to do. Here's what I need you to do. Stand up, walk to the window, and throw your bitch ass off that train.
No, he's just walking down the sidewalk, but it feels threatening.
Girl, bye. I know sometimes 911 operators be getting them calls and it's like, by law, they can't hang up. But there's got to be some times where you're like, bitch, you ain't got nothing else better to do today than to call the cops on your neighbors for something. Oh, their car is on my property line. You're like, okay, why? And then also, why are you sending somebody with a gun to a property line dispute?
When you all created this piece, Josh and Dulce, did you all realize at the time that this was going to be, because do you saying that you all did this is one of the first things you did? I think you've been with the show, I think coming up on 3 years, maybe crossing that line in the four.
I've been the show since 2017.
Okay. So we turned the corner on 4 years. So yeah. 4 years ago, when you all did this piece, did you think it would be one of those ones that would be so evergreen that it could keep just floating back up to the top of the news cycle with relevancy?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think
you knew knew then, like, yeah, the next 4 years under Trump, anything, this shit.
Yeah, because honestly, we had to fight for as many examples as we use, because we had ones that just didn't even make it. That's how many examples joke wise we had. So it was mm-hmm. like, oh, this is never going to go away. You know, like I think if we had been struggling to come up with examples, that would have been like, all right, we'll see if this pans out, if this resonates with anybody. But the fact that we probably had another, you know, maybe even like minute and a half of jokes is like, yeah, there's plenty of instances to go around. And plus, I think that it speaks to a larger thing of how sometimes it's like the Amy Cooper thing, where it's just a flex, like it's just someone trying to exercise power over another person. I've seen some instances that were just as ridiculous, like the guy at a store that was trying to use a coupon, and the person didn't want to take their coupon, but the coupon was from the store. It was like, it wasn't like a coupon that could have been counterfeited. It's like, if you walk in, it's like your store's logo on this coupon, but they didn't want to take it for some reason. It also wouldn't have made the product free. They just didn't want to take the coupon. And so the person was like, nah, this is pretty wild. So I'm just going to stand here in line until you take this coupon, because why you can't give me a reason. And then they decided to call the cops in, like, never mind if you're fourth in line, because now you've been waiting for a while. Nobody's budgeting.
A CVS manager captured on cell phone video in Chicago as he calls 911 because of a coupon controversy.
African American.
Black. No, I'm not African American. I'm black. Black isn't a bad word.
The man calls the police on a black customer attempting to use the coupon seen here.
They never tried to process the coupon. They never scanned it.
You can tell where, I don't know, and maybe I'm being a bit naive, but like, you can tell with, especially as far as they've taken the situation, I think that that clerk was actually getting fearful, not even of the black person, just of how far they had taken it, because they're now calling the police, realizing like, wow, I'm calling the police instead of just taking this coupon because I got in a spat with a customer, like, and then they're recording me, because that's the other kind of backlash now to sort of Karen Demick, all the stuff, is that like, now you're seeing where people that are having like a Karen moment are realizing they're on camera, and with all the examples of how that's gone for other people, are now like, oh, like, now, should I double down now, or should I back off, or what should I do? And I think that that's another huge aspect. That's probably the only aspect that I don't fully think was covered in the sketch, because I think now it's getting to the point where if a person ends up on the news the next day, you know, in an interview on like daytime news or something about how the police were called on them while they were just living their life, it shouldn't just be the black person. It should be the black person and the person they call. They should sit next to each other and be like, so why did you?
Yeah, because they recently just had, I can't remember where it was, but it was like a black realtor was showing a black man and his son a house, and they all ended up in handcuffs.
Yeah, because the neighbors thought that they were burglars who meet in the front yard, and then
daytime burglars.
Well, I'm at a gunpoint, one by one.
An empty fucking, was the house empty?
I don't know. It was a home showing. Either way, I'm the realtor. How do you not know?
It's doubly offensive because it's not only do they think we're criminals, but they think we're bad at crime. Like, right. it's the day. It's the middle of the day.
But also, fuck them cops that arrested them, because all he had to say was, here is my real, like, realtors have business cards and websites and licenses and shit. So all he had to do was like, what are y'all doing here? Here's a real estate portfolio. I'm showing them. How did they end up in here? It's like, it had to be they just busted in the house and you just grabbed people and arrested them and didn't ask any questions. You just get arrested and they're like, okay, all right. I see what we could have done here. I see what could have, we're sorry. No, bitch, I'm getting on CNN. I'm getting on MSNBC. I'm going to be on, I'm meeting Huda. Is what the fuck I'm finna do. I'm meeting Huda. I'm finna get me a free house.
And then Minorities Report, because we can kind of put these in the same burrito. Minorities Report was where we basically parodied the Tom Cruise movie where the police arrest you for crimes you haven't committed yet because they can predict the future. So you're arrested for future crimes. So it was me running around New York City slapping phones out of white people's hands who were getting ready to call the police on black people because I had the precognition to know what was going on.
There's a black man in the park. I think he's a drug dealer.
White lady.
Have you got a location?
Park off Riverside. White woman's gonna call the cops and say that the black guy was trying to sell drugs. He's just trying to read the newspaper.
I'll send a team.
There's no time. I'm going myself.
You need a jacket?
What's the germination of that idea? Like, where does that start? In
germination. That's a good word.
Yeah, that's Alabama Public Schools. You're welcome.
Germany. Yeah, it has to do with farming, so you would know that term.
Kiss my ass. Go ahead, Josh.
You know, I think that from pitch to actual production, what ends up happening is that there's an overall idea. Like, what if this thing happened? That usually, at least in the voice of the show, is something that's more universal than just the face value experience or like the hot take on Twitter. It's like, you know, this calling the police on black people who aren't doing anything also ends terribly for the white people. So how do we save everybody? And that's also kind of how that minorities report came about, because it was like in the sketch, you're not just showing them the light of like, this person isn't bothering anybody, they're not doing anything, don't call the police, but you're also like, you were about to mess up your day, like you were about to be trending, all right, because that's just a dude on a bench
and unemployed more than likely.
Yeah.
I do wonder, it's like, I think they don't all lose their job. Like, that's the thing where we're talking about, like, Karen Dimmick and all this other stuff. It's like, they ain't doing nothing new. You know, now we just got phones on it. They've been doing this stuff since the phone got invented. And then before that, you know, they was calling out all kind of sheriffs and whoever to come. They've always been calling the authorities on us, whether you have to get, you know, somebody to Paul Revere the motherfucker to go down a horse and go get the cops. We've always been chased by the police, like, period. And there's always been white people sicking the police on us. That was the original point of the police, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was some slave catchery. Yes, there was some, the original germination, I do believe, was some slave catchery.
But whenever I hear that, I'm also like, well, wait, we've also had law enforcement for a long time. So it's like a half, it's like, you know, it's two things you needed, you know, enforcement of laws and enforcement of slavery. So we put them together and now we have cops. So them calling the cops on us isn't new. They've been doing this since before the phone was invented. Now it's just faster to do it, because if the police are trained to think that we're inherently dangerous just as a people, and the American public knows that the police are trained to think that we're inherently dangerous. So you as a white person know that when I want to assert my authority over a black person, usually when I'm wrong, I can just say I'm going to call the cops, because you always have backup, because you can always call the police. So it doesn't matter.
The statistics say that the cop is for sure going to show up and take her side.
Right. So,
okay.
But like, if I called the cops on a black man or another black woman, the police get there and they're just like, well, you're both fucking criminals. Like, who do we believe? Now that they don't know who to trust in the situation, because there's two black people standing there, you're like, can we just send them both to jail? So that's the whole, like,
they're going to flip a coin.
They're going to flip a coin. I'm just like, no, but I called you. So there's no inherent, I never have any other course of action when I'm in a dangerous situation, because I know if the police, there's literally examples of the police coming and then shooting the wrong person or arresting the wrong person. So there's nothing, they're not doing anything new. They've all been trained, like we've all been trained and taught that if a white person calls the police are always going to come. And they know that. It's just a way to keep us in line.
Do you think that there's, and I don't know quite how to ask this question, Josh, but is making jokes about this drawing attention to them in a bad way?
I mean, I don't think so, because I think that for the people that know it's happening, it's a way to talk about it that isn't just the level that's a bummer. Like, it's the shared experience where it's like, yes, you're not alone. This happened to me too, or this could happen to any of us or anything like that. And then I think that for the people who don't fully understand that it's a thing, it raises awareness and attention, because they're initially coming to, like, let's say you've lived a very just insulated life with just, like, you know, white people around you. And then something like the Amy Cooper on camera happens, and it's like, oh, okay, that's like clearly messed up, because she specifically says, I'm gonna call them and tell them a black man is threatening my life. A black man that's like very far away from her, that is not like trying to attack her or anything. So she tells this person to his face on camera, doesn't care.
Here's the
I'm
lie.
Going to lie, and we both know what's gonna happen next. And so yeah. I think that most people, especially any good faith actor in an argument, can't deny what's happening in that video. But I also think that talking about things in a different way from just the straight like news presentational, this thing happened, gains perspective. And I don't think it takes away from how serious it is, but I also think that it's important to, like, when you joke about anything, it's like there are varying degrees of seriousness, and then depending on how dark a joke is might then make people realize how serious the situation is.
Okay, so after the break, I want to talk about the levels of this whole world and why in the last 4 or 5 years, probably because of Trump, did this shit start happening all the damn time? Did I do that right? Don't say I was trying to snap on the...
All the damn time.
There we go. Beyond the Scenes. We'll be right back.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Josh, you said something that I have to politely, I don't know if it's pushback, I'm going to present a different perspective on.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about how when people are in the moment, if a white person has made the call and what was once a one-on-one battle with a black customer turns into, oh my God, the camera's at me. Oh my God, this is live stream. Oh my God, the police are here. What do I do? And sometimes they back down, right? But I have a small bit of respect for the white people who double down and go extra racist in that moment. I don't know if y'all saw there's been a bunch of motel incidents where the black motel clerk is getting verbally abused by white customer for whatever reason, right? And then the black clerk picks up the camera phone to protect themselves, and then the white customer just starts giving the camera phone the middle finger. I know I should not laugh, but that shit makes me smile so hard when I see somebody just go, yeah, I'm racist, and let's go on the journey. Why do you all think, Dulce, I'll start with you. Uh-huh. Why do you all think in the last 5 or 6 years there's been this explosion of the weaponization of the police against black people?
I don't know. Like, I always think of, when it comes to stuff like this, I always think of, there's a line, just as an odd reference, but there's a line from a T.I. song where he says, it's not what you did, the question is who saw.
Oh, deep prose from Clifford Harris.
I mean, truly. I don't know if it's more than it was before. I just feel like I'm seeing it more. Because, like, I wonder if, you know, are there more incidents of the police shooting unarmed black people? Or is it just being recorded more? Because I feel like, because it's like, if we're talking about the number of incidents going up, maybe because of Trump, with white people acting fool, I feel like that the number of incidents of unarmed black people getting shot went up when Obama became president, is how I really feel about it. So y'all were just mad that this black man was out here. So you're like, well, I can't shoot that one, but I can shoot this one.
Josh, do you feel like Trump or COVID added something into the air? Like, that Trump was Trump the first layer, and that COVID kind of a bit of a double down because of economic anxiety. And then you had all the Proud Boy, and you had the Confederate, all the Confederate statues being taken down. So it's creating all this, oh no, the blacks are coming type anxiety. Where do you think all of those
like
factors
Paul
play
Revere?
Into?
The blacks are coming. The blacks are coming.
I like that.
You've been here, baby. You brought us
Chuck
here.
Revere.
The fuck?
Chuck Revere. Chuck Revere.
Yeah. Where does COVID and Trump and economic anxiety play into all of this, Josh?
I mean, I don't know if COVID does especially. If anything, COVID helped in that when bad things happen, people didn't have anything to do to occupy themselves to ignore it. So I think that you can only, if you're going to bring the pandemic into it in any way, you have to give context to the fact that the whole reason there was like a whole nationwide global George Floyd protest is because that thing happened. And it's not like we had anything else to occupy ourselves with to ignore it, whether you were black, white, anything. So everybody saw it. Everybody talked about it. And then protests started happening because one of the things, like, you know, no matter how bad a situation is, you look at the protests in past years and what made the news in past years, and it just it's not as if George Floyd was this new incredibly horrible thing that we all saw. It's like, yeah, we saw it, and it was as bad as many other things that have been happening up until that point. And I think that if anything, you know, a lot of the stats show that not in a way that means we should take the foot off of the gas of trying to address things like qualified immunity and everything. But I think that a lot of the altercations and a lot of the stuff is down from where it used to be. I think that, once again, we weren't seeing it, but also there were way more attitudes you could just get away with plainly out in the world than you could before. And so, you know, I think people want to put it all on Trump, or they want to put it all on a moment. And it's like, really, the way that I've at least seen the ticker, if you want to look at it like a stock ticker of racism, right, is that it's still way too high, but it's gone down slightly over time by, like, you know, whatever, 1/100th of a whatever number I'm making up. But at the same time, when Trump got in office, it saw this spike, and the spike made people think all of this stuff, all these attitudes, all of these things were coming out of nowhere for the first time ever, when really they were just a regression back to, you know, maybe 15 years ago, like not even that long ago. And so I think that, sure, you can blame Trumpism for a good amount of it, because they're easily, you know, they trademarked shirts that were like, fuck your feelings. It's like they came to troll, they came to be shitty, and they came to try to reclaim some of that thing that people like to act like doesn't exist. And what I mean by that is, the same way that Amy Cooper played her hand because she knew the score, so when she said that thing to him to camera, she admitted a thing that a lot of people try not to admit, which is like, what are you talking about? The police are on everybody's side. If you call the police, whatever, that thing, that all that diminished when she said the line that she said the way she said it.
Please don't come close to me. Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
And I think that with Trumpism, there's an unspoken thing of trying to get back to a time where you want to act like it's not tribalism. You want to act like we're not playing teams. But there was a time where the white team, if you want to put it that way, was doing very well, unabashedly, unapologetically, and everything was going the way of the same people who act like they're so threatened now.
Well, of course, that they feel like they're threatened is because these are the same people that think that equality means that they're going to lose opportunities. Like, just to, like, kind of ground it for a second, like, the same people who, it's about to be a hard time for mediocre white people in a lot of fields of study and a lot of career paths.
Well, for diversity hiring and things like that.
Right, because of that. But it's also, you're no longer... There was an active choice being made to exclude black people and other people of color. But now you've stopped doing that. So now we're just looking at merit. And there's also an effort being made, because of inherent biases that people have, to bring in more people of color. Also, it's The wild thing about all of this is that when Trump got elected, all of these white people got so confused because they were like, well, how could this happen? How could this happen? But I had somebody tell me on a podcast that she thought that the United States wasn't racist anymore because she saw a black TV show in the 70s. That's when she thought racism ended, was the 70s, right? As if Rodney King hadn't happened in the 90s and all these other things. And then there's a bunch of white people that thought that when Obama got elected, we kept saying we're in a post-racial society and all the black people kept going, that's not true. It's still racist here. It's because you elected a black president to stop from being racist. So when he gets out of office, now all these white people are mad. So when they're running, when they were running when Obama was going to win his second term, the Republicans kept saying, we got to take our country back. We got to take our country back. Who the fuck took it? No one stole your country. They didn't hop up and steal it. Black people didn't colonize somewhere you were already at. So this whole attitude, the reason that all of this is happening now, because I can't, is it higher than it was before? I don't know. But do these people seem to be bolder than they were before? Because at least the Klan would hide their head and hide their face. Now these boys ain't even hiding their face no more. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Klan was terrible. Calling the police on you.
Yeah, okay. The Klan is trash. But so now they're so bold. Y'all done marched through a whole town with nothing covering your head because you want people to know because you bold as hell. So how do you go up against people who will march through a city and go, yep, we are racist. Destroy the tiki torch industry. Now, nobody can have a well-lit barbecue at a night, you know.
Man, they really put the tiki torches behind the pay glass like condoms at CVS.
Right. And deodorant.
You got to go get a sales associate with the keys.
Right, at a Lowe's, just because I want to have a night. That's just because I don't want no mosquitoes while I have my nighttime barbecue. So these people, and when I say these people, I mean those people. This is a fallback. But the thing that we've been saying as black people in this country is that this shit is not surprising to us. And that's the most frustrating part. Everything that is happening right now, every black person has had some white woman come at them at a fucking store for no reason. Accuse you of doing something you didn't do. Get followed in the store. This is not new to us. All of this stuff that is happening, all of these people being openly racist and acting wild is not new information to us. This is all new information to white people. And that's the thing that makes it the most annoying and the most insulting, because now they want to act fucking surprised. This is y'all's people doing this shit.
So then to that point then, D, and I'll ask this last question before we take a break. What's the better play? Are we doing the right thing by like shaming people and turning them into a meme and calling them Karens and all that? Because when you look at Amy Cooper, right, she went through the whole public shaming and was fired from her job. And then she was arrested and charged with filing a false whatever the fuck.
Okay.
The charges were then dropped because she went through five psychoeducation, I don't know, some anti-racism class, whatever it is. She went and took some therapy and they dropped the charges. The black dude that she accused wouldn't take part in like actively prosecuting her. So he kind of let her off the hook. Since then, Amy Cooper's come out and said, I didn't do a motherfucking thing wrong. He was holding dog treats. I thought he was finna attack my dog, Your Honor. And Amy Cooper then sued her employer saying, yeah, that was wrongful termination and that's racial discrimination. So does this mean nothing's going to change? Because she's probably the best example of someone who did the wrong, was public shamed, was criminally charged, and is now on the other side of all of that shit going, yeah, and I'd do it again. And I want my job back.
Yeah, because the people that we are looking to fix this are the same people that are doing wrong. She got fired from her job because people were saying stuff about her job. The police had to do something. But, you know, you can get charges reduced if you go to, you know, I know it's okay. You can either serve this jail time or you can pay this fine. Or you can serve this jail time or you can go to rehab. They always get, like, certain people, they always
take a traffic class and all that. Yeah.
You take a traffic class, we won't knock points off your license. You take a DUI mm-hmm. class, you won't lose your license. They always give some people options, right? And other people, they just send straight to jail, you know, you can collect $200. So we can't look to the people who are maintaining the system of her being able to call the cops on that man to then reprimand her. How does that even work?
Yeah, but I also think that there's, you know, it to a certain degree, it's not my place, and it's not, you know, to drag him at all. But I think that we're conditioned and taught to really respond to any and every plight that white people have, and every white tear that gets dropped. And so I think that it's a thing of, it is kind of just on the guy that she was calling the cops on. It's like, you should have pressed, dude. First of all, when are you ever going to get a chance like this? Because this could happen to you 9 times out of 10. And those other 9 times out of 10, you're not even going to get to press charges. You're just going to be glad you left with your life. So then, you know, it's kind of on him for not pressing charges and just sort of giving this weird benefit of the doubt to a person he didn't know, whose only instance he had an interaction with was something this terrible. Then it was on the goofy, you know, like racial discrimination counselor, because when she finished all of that 5 classes of training or whatever she took, the person went on record saying, like, it's been a real transformation. And I don't care if they're black, they're white, whatever. I, you know, maybe I'm overstepping, but they seem like a silly person to think that you that's a lot of hubris to be operating under, to then think that whatever you had to say about race for 5 hours changed someone, whether you're black, white, I don't care what you are, whatever you had to say was that groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. It was better than Malcolm X, played by Denzel Washington, directed by Spike Lee. Like, you think that you changed a person. And to Dulce's point, it's like, people know how to play the playbook. If she knew the playbook well enough to know what to say, okay, this is the game. We're playing the game, and this is about to be what happens next. And, you know, it'll be on you if you get killed, right? Because you were bothering me, and I didn't want you to bother me. And if she knows the game that well before she did the thing, she knows the game well enough to know how to maneuver out of it. So, yeah. So I think that we're, you know, I'm not rooting against any person, any type of people, or any, like, I don't really,
I am.
It's, but I just personally am like, I don't know. Those aren't where my motivations are, but I do believe in retribution. And I do believe in justice. And as imperfect as it is, I think that when you have the opportunity to get it or to take it, that you should, because I think that, you know, even though it's not, it's really, he only needs to worry about him and everything. I believe his name's Christian Cooper, but I think that the mistake he made is not seeing how it's like, this situation has national attention. So whatever you do next is going to play into a narrative. It's like the court of public opinion works the same way as the courts of law, where once you set a precedent, that precedent is then what gets addressed and what gets taken back to when the thing happens again. So then the next time there's an Amy Cooper, that same person will be like, all right, I'll probably get a slap on the wrist or have to do something where I have to listen to some white lady talk about race. I'll just take some racism classes.
Anyway. Yeah. Nigger.
Exactly. Right. So then it's like, I think that sometimes as a people, when something happens, you have a responsibility to your other people. And I think that in his sort of, you know, I'm not going to necessarily accuse him of playing respectability politics, but like in whatever motivations he had for not pressing charges, for not wanting her to be held more accountable, I think that he played into a larger narrative.
I think just for 2 seconds, it's, I'm worried that people love to send death threats to people. And I'm worried that one of the motivating fact, I don't know why he dropped the case, but I'm sure he was receiving death threats. Like, truly. So there had to be other things happening, I think, for him to, or sometimes you just get to a point where you're just like, I'm done. I'm done. They did whatever they're going to do to this bitch. I do agree that he should have pressed charges, but I feel like there had to be other things happening for him to not to. But
he's a black man that watched Birds. All he want is peace.
Right.
Like, any motherfucker who leave a house to go watch Birds,
in New York City.
He just wants peace.
He don't want to be bothered with this nonsense. The man just wanted to look at some damn... He wanted to see if, you know, he wanted to see these wings flap.
Do you think white men are getting off? Why are there no Kens? It's always Karens. It's always Kens. You don't see a lot of Kens. You see a couple of Kens here and there, but they don't get a name. They don't get the same brand in, like, say, a Chad or a Becky, like a barbecue Becky. Yeah. Like, it's always Karen. What about the white men? Don't they deserve some love? What are we going to call them?
Well, I feel like that when white men go off, they're shooting up some shit. So, and they they're called lone wolves.
What?
White men going off is way less funny. Like,
they're going postal. That's where the term going postal comes from, is if a white man's, somebody going to die tonight. Like, when white men pop off, because it's like, white men aren't going to be in the situations that will create a Karen. Because at the end of the day, when you see these women going off, it's what? They feel like someone's not respecting their authority. It's all a temper tantrum. The top of the totem pole is a white man. So for a white man to be in a situation where he's not getting what he wants, if he keeps going up the chain of command of a business, he's going to hit a white man.
So he feels satisfied throughout the day, so he doesn't feel the need to exert any type of authority over someone lesser than in
not
the same
really. And
as often. Okay.
Also, when white men call the police on you, it's very rare that I've heard a white man yell, "I'm going to call the police on you." They just call the fucking police. They don't say anything. You just stand there, you're like, "Who the fuck called the cops?"
Their screams are also way less funny unless their voice is cracking. Like most videos that you see of like white male altercations are not hilarious. Unless they're drunk and fighting, the thing that makes the Karen such a fascinating thing is because it is like, all right, you're not taking me seriously, but it's like, why would I take you seriously? You're being ridiculous. Well, I'm not being ridiculous, and you're this, this, and this, and this. And so then the freak out is mostly to not just the temper tantrum for me, it's also all right. It's basically, to me, it's like, why aren't you treating me like a white man right now? This is so unfair. This is the real oppression. I'm right next to a white man. Why can't you treat me like a white man? This is terrible. This is the real discrimination right here.
I have one incident of a Ken acting like a Karen that gives me hope that this issue will change. I'll tell y'all about it after the break. I'm not sure if y'all heard about this one.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
There's two things interesting I want to bring up with regards to kind of the ripple effect of stories like the 911 for white people, which address the issues of white people calling the 911 so flippantly. We had a segment in the field department we were working on that we were originally going to try to do, but just the pandemicness of it all, it didn't quite come together, but we wanted to talk to real women named Karen who deal with being discriminated against because of all of the quote unquote Karens that are out there. Is there any sympathy for literal Karens out there, or do we just kind of just, hey, look, you just got to roll with this for right now. It's just y'all time. Kind of like how anybody named Chester, you know, they go Chester molester or whatever the hell it is. You remember that in the South? So do real life Karens just got to ride the wave like Chester's did back in the day?
They need to talk to the Beckys, because Beckys has always been a term. Becky's been a term around since like, what, the 80s for these white women. So they need to look to the Beckys, see what the Beckys did, and they need to sit down somewhere.
Beckys were more of a, because Karen carries a much more negative connotation than a Becky. To me, a Becky, as I'd always thought of it, was kind of ditzy blonde, or it was a very, very freaky white woman that likes black men. Like, those were the two.
No, that's a Crystal.
Okay.
What?
I didn't know that was. Well, in Alabama, Becky has two men.
A Becky was just a white. Well, a Becky was a white, but a Crystal is, you know, this white girl. She's got the I Date Black Dudes haircut. She always keep too many rings on. She got a bunch of mixed babies and drives an Impala and smokes Newport. It's the female version of a Tyler.
What?
I thought that was a Kate. No. With the bop, with the swoosh over her eye. No, like only one
see,
eye.
See, that's the I Want to See a Manager haircut. That's different than the I Date Black Dudes haircut.
So that's a Susan.
No, there's a very, because the thing is, the I Date Black Dudes haircut is like a white imitation of a black hairstyle.
Yeah, it's like T-Bob. Like, it's like a TLC. It's any hairstyle.
Right. Like, so any hairstyle that T-Bob's would have had, these are your Crystals.
Wait, so what are all the names?
Y'all so learning a lot, Josh. Names.
Right. Well, there's a Tyler. We all know Tylers are, you know, the cool white boy that always had a fade. And was probably on the basketball team. White tees were very much his bag. He's the only white boy in the crew. But you allow it because, you know, he's tall and can play basketball. So, yeah, he's just a white boy that's always in a random, you know, just a crew of black dudes that plays basketball with them. And again, drives an Impala, sometimes smokes Newports, but would never date a Crystal because they would never date each other.
Exactly. But he addresses black women as queen.
Yep. He's still going to waste your time. He just called you queen to start with. So
I think that there is hope in terms of how we carry ourselves as a society. And I think that pieces like this do affect change. There was a story out of, I believe this was San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, San Francisco. So black guy waiting in front of a building. One of them buildings where you got to be buzzed in and call upstairs for the motherfucker to come down to get you.
Yeah.
Black guy in front of the building waiting for his friend to come down to get him. White man and his son come out the building. White man turns to black guy and goes, "Why are you standing in front of my building?" Black guy goes, "I don't have to answer to you." White guy calls the police. White guy goes through the usual. I'm looking at him. He appears to be African-American. Here's our address. The man's son, who doesn't appear to be more than 7 or 8 years old, starts crying and is begging to the father to let this shit slide. He ain't bother nobody. He's just standing in front of a building.
There's a trespasser in my building. Daddy,
go.
Please
go. Listen to your son.
Daddy, go. It's the Mass. Better. I agree with him, Daddy. It's the better. Let's go. Please. I don't like this.
Standing in the lobby.
Daddy, I don't like this. Let's go.
Let's he tailgated through the door as I left. He walked in.
That kid begged and begged his father, and his father refused to get off the phone with the cops. And then the friend from upstairs appeared, and the black guy entered the building, and the father had that look that Josh was talking about on his face in the video where, oh, no, what have I done?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That kid gives me hope.
Well, but in that moment, as a parent, your elementary school age child is, one, recognizing the situation. And is recognizing the situation more than you are as a grown ass man, right? Your child also has the wherewithal and the knowledge of the situation to ask you to not do what you were doing. Now, in this moment, when you're continuing to do what you were doing, what are you teaching your child? Are you teaching your child that my authority comes before anything? Are you teaching him how to be a white man? Like, in that moment when your child is telling you to stop, what are you trying to teach in that moment? Didn't stop.
Well, whatever the lesson is, the kid didn't get it, thankfully. This got to be one of them dudes that's just got joint custody. This can't be no regular dad. This ain't regular daddy behavior.
Why like you any think it's daddy not regular daddy behavior?
Any daddy that don't listen to his kid, that's joint custody. Shut up, little motherfucker. You don't know. Anyway, police, yes.
Listen, you know what? The Lord has not blessed me with a child yet. So, and I don't plan to be in any joint custody situation. We made these niggas. We're going to raise them together.
Because it's joint custody because he knows he ain't got to deal with that kid all in his face the rest of the night. Daddy called the police on a black man. He finna go drop him off at his side chick house and get on back to work.
Wow.
I mean, that's
okay,
a very specific take. But yeah, I mean, I can see it. The way you described it sounds reasonable, but oof.
My point is, it gives me hope. And here's another statistic that gives me hope. In 2020 in the United States, there were only just over 300 baby girls named Karen. Out of all of the names of all of the babies, I don't know the percentage on that, but that's got to be less than 1% of all babies.
So what was the percentage the year before then?
Can you be positive for 1 second? Can you just...
No, I just want to see the I'm trying to be positive. I'm being positive. I want to see
Can
the percentage of how
being
it dropped.
Analytical for 1 second.
I like facts and figures. I do know that there are non-white Karens. I almost said white. There are non-white Karens who they also feel like that they have been, you know, discriminated against. But I'm just like, but you the one they would call. Because, like, if there's a white woman Karen and they're calling the police on a black Karen, then does this black Karen go, hey, bitch, I'm a Karen. You can't call the cops on me. I'm you.
Okay, here's your number since you want a statistic. Here's your fucking statistic. The overall number of new babies named Karen in 2019 was 439. In 2020, it dropped to 325, a decline of nearly 26%.
See, I don't know why you had to put it that way, but now people got something they could attach it to, you know? So all of these heifers acting a fool done made people stop naming their daughters Karen or sons, I don't know their business, and it reduced by 26%.
Here's the thing that's really telling about that statistic, just by for comparison's sake. In 1965, when Karen was peak popularity, 33,000 people were given that name. And when you look at the age of the people that are misbehaving and compare it to 1965, kind of lines up.
Because they'd be in their 50s.
Yes.
Yeah,
they'd be in their 50s.
It does also feel like it just is aging out completely independent of the Karen demic. How many Gladyses do you know?
Ain't no Gladyses, ain't no new Clementines, ain't nobody getting named
Vera's. Yeah, it might just be Vera's, one of those Veronica. Names that's phasing out. I don't know if we can chalk that up to racial justice. I think that just might be people with new tastes.
Because what you can do, so Google how many women were named Ashley in 1965, or Jennifer, because we had so many Jennifers at my high school, we were all referred to them by last name. So maybe Josh is right. Maybe it's just the tip in the scales. So in 20 years, we won't have Karens. We're going to have Ashleys and Jennifers.
Well, the most popular baby name in 2020 was Olivia. So does this mean in about 50 years, there's going to be a wave of racist Olivias?
I mean, maybe, but this is my thing. I think that just like the kid that gives you hope, a lot of the people coming up now, not just because they have only ever lived with the internet, but because they actually can see like through other people's mistakes rapidly on the internet. I think that like a good portion of the way that we see things happening now is either going to shift or chill. Because it never goes away. It's not about going away, but I think racist people are going to find a new thing. And I think that the people who might have leaned on that side of the fence might, you know, be like, it's not worth that. It's not worth me potentially losing my job for harassing a resident of this building that is my neighbor, but I don't talk to my neighbor, so I have no idea. It's like, I think that thing is also going to wane a bit, because even if, you know, it's a small price to pay overall that like your name is the name that people are clowning for the past like 2 years. It's like, all right, that you really shouldn't have said anything. It's to me, the people that like complain about Karen being like the Chester thing, like that really complain about that, it's just like you sound weak Like, tell me about a real problem. I believe you have real problems. Every single Karen, whatever, that is like, oh, when you say Karen hurt my feelings, any of that, I believe you have real other problems because you're human on planet Earth. But not this one. Don't. This makes you look like if your cereal in stock is over for you. Like, it's just, it's such a non-thing.
Or they are living up to the moniker that was given to them. Because what is being a Karen, you know, weaponizing victimhood, weaponizing white privilege. So if you were some complaining about, oh, they're calling people Karens and now it's coming back on me, it's victimhood. It's all it is. Well, I don't know why everybody's so mad at me. I didn't even do anything. Yeah, and neither did any other black person born as a fucking black person. But I'm always going to have problems. Because y'all have decided that I'm lesser than, that I'm a fucking problem, that you feel the need to ask me what the fuck I'm doing if I'm standing in front of a building. What are you doing? What are you doing? Deal with it. No one's fucking trying to send you. No one's trying to mass incarcerate you. No one's trying to not give you a fucking home loan. There's too many things that black people have gone through for me to have any sympathy for some bitch sitting up whining about the fact that people are, they're making me into a meme. The police are killing us because you call them. Fuck a meme. Get off the internet. Like, all of this is just like, I am not, as a black woman, I'm not allowed to play victim. Ever. Ever. I have to be strong to my detriment as a human being. So to come up to me and complain, or to be on the internet and complain that people are being mean to you because of your name. If I marry a black man, he could die today. I could die. If I have black children, my brother, every black man around me, every black person around me is at constant fucking danger anytime the cops roll by. And then I still have to deal with every white person that walks in nature. I don't know what side they're on. Also, white people aren't the only ones calling the police on us. There are also other non-black people of color also calling the fucking cops on us. So it's a free for all. Everybody knows that if you want to control a black person, you could threaten them by calling the fucking police. And you want to complain to me that people are being mean to you? Bitch, fall downstairs. Stop it. You sound wild. And the whole Karen thing, it's yes, it's a whiny white woman. Who the hell wants to, it's hysterics. And it's all, you know, that's something. It's like, oh, well, you know, she's being hysterical. She's being, you know, think about the term. The term hysterical comes from a feminine root, because there's also the term hysteric. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, the root of this is female. You're saying that this is something that's inherently in women, is us acting a fucking fool. And if anyone has been prone to be like, white women are the most protected because they're seen as the weakest. And they're seen as the weakest because they're the most protected. No one's saying the phrase strong white woman. That doesn't happen. No one's looking to a white woman for advice. No one's stopping a white woman in a bathroom to tell them all their problems. It's not happening. You look to me for that goofy shit. You look to a white woman for a Yelp review.
I look to Rachel Rayford for recipes sometimes, though.
Do you? Because that food looked dry.
I mean, it is. It would be amazing to have more white women in cinema as magical Negroes. That would be next level, to just have a white woman janitor. You try to play football, you're not good enough, so you think you're going to quit. No. And then a white woman just like, oh, so you just going to quit. And you turn around, you're like, do I know you? I quit once. All right? And look where I am now.
What's the title of the movie, Josh? What's her name? Olivia.
I guess it was Rudy, so I guess you'd have to go Reba. I don't know.
Well, isn't that just dangerous minds? Isn't that just dangerous minds? We got to come in and save these black kids. You know, black Michelle kids can't handle themselves. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, my Lord.
So now we're just calling these bitches Pfeiffers. They're not magical. The magical Negro, if you replace it with a white woman, now they're just Pfeiffers, is what they are.
Who was
they're
in The Blind Side?
Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
That was Sandra Bullock. Okay.
Yeah, the Pied Pfeiffers.
The Pied Pfeiffers. Yep.
Yeah, the Freedom Riders, you know, just came through. This is my thing. This is my hope fighters. For the world, and what I want to have happen is now I'm starting to see, and some of this I've seen in person, but some of it, you know, it hasn't gone as viral because like de-escalation is not as fun to watch as escalation. But no. Now we're starting to see some Karens really step it up to cancel out other Karens. So it's before great. The situation can even really pop off, and there's no look like the look on a Karen's face when another Karen is like, shut up. Like what? Like yeah. When she comes out of nowhere.
You're seeing that with a lot of the mask fights in stores now where an anti-masker gets confronted by someone in a mask. So, yeah, there is a lot of hope out there, man. I wish we had more time to dig into all of this. Josh, I like your movie pitch. Let's talk about it offline. I think we can get Universal to give us $30 million to make Pfeiffer, the magical Pfeiffers.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The journey of the magical Pfeiffer. I think it could work. I think there's not enough... There's not enough representation of strong white women. I feel like that if they felt like they had more power, they wouldn't be trying to call the cops on people. You know, maybe they need to, you know, talk to the ancestors.
Good point.
You know, look to the ancestors, get the strength that they're really looking for in their lives. Just really, you know.
I mean, now you're sort of pitching a white Mulan sort of situation.
Moana.
We're done. Josh Johnson, Dilsay Sloan, thank you all so much for going beyond the scenes with me. And if you want to watch this piece and more of the other pieces that we talk about on this wonderful podcast, go to dailyshow.com/beyond. Hey, Beyond the Scenes listeners, if you haven't rated and reviewed us yet on Apple Podcasts, I need you to stop right now and do that. Drop us a rating, let us know how you feel, and write a review. Write a review, too. I read those to my child at the end of the night because I'm out of books. Gotta go buy them new books.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.